Good morning. The reading this morning is from Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. God appeared to Abram at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent. It was the hottest part of the day. Abram looked up and saw three men standing. He ran from his tent to greet them and bowed before them. He said, "Master, if it please you, please stop for a while with your servant. I'll get some water so you can wash your feet. Rest under this tree. I'll get some food to refresh your way, since your travels have brought you across my path." They said, "Certainly, go ahead." Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. He said, "Hurry and get three cups of our best flour. Knead it and make bread." Then Abraham ran to the cattle pen and picked out a nice plump calf and gave it to the servant, who lost no time getting it ready. Then he got curds and milk, brought them with the calf that had been roasted, set the meal before the men, and stood there under the tree while they ate. The men said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Abraham said, "She's in the tent." One of them said, "I'm coming back about this time next year. When I arrive, your wife Sarah will have a son." That ends this reading.
A New Testament scripture is taken from the last four verses of the 10th chapter of Luke, and I'll be reading from the Contemporary English Version. The setting is that which follows what we talked about last week, Jesus telling the story to a crowd of people, some of whom were detractors, telling the story of the Good Samaritan, and then talking about who our neighbor is. The story goes on. Jesus and his disciples were traveling along and came to a village. When they got there, a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat down in front of Jesus and was listening to what he said. Martha was worried about all that had to be done. Finally, she said to Jesus, "Master, doesn't it bother you that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her." This ends the reading of the gospel.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Mary, for sharing that with us. These two stories that are separated by about 12 to 1500 years, but they both center around this custom of hospitality. In the arid region of Palestine, of the Middle East, hospitality, which becomes a custom, really comes out of necessity, right? Because in a place like that, without food, if you're traveling and you have no food, you have no water, you have no shelter, you can die. And so they know that if they offer hospitality to one at this time, that when they are traveling, someone will be offering hospitality as well for them. But I wonder, as we read the story of Martha, Martha, and the things that she is feeling, whether Sarah is feeling some of the very same things. Because similarly, some apparently fairly important people have come to the tent of Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham has done what he is supposed to do, is host and say, "Here, sit down, sit in the shade. I'll go get you a little bit of bread and you can rest and all will be well." Now note that Abraham says, "I'll get you a little bit of bread." And then what we hear is that he goes into where Sarah is, and it's not just a little bit of bread that he wants. He wants a ton of bread. There's a whole lot that he asks for her. And let's remember, Sarah is 90 years old at this time. And we know that if you're asking for a lot more than a little bit of bread, you're asking for a whole lot more, because then he goes off and finds a servant, tells the servant to go find the fatted calf, kill the fatted calf, prepare the fatted calf so that we can eat the fatted calf. And what has gone from a little bit of bread and a little bit of rest has become this very elaborate meal. And Abraham, of course, gets to bask in the glory of it. Here's the great hospitality host who has sat there at the feet of these visitors while his servant and his wife have done all of the work. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sarah's not feeling just a little bit of what we hear Martha feeling as well in this story, who has had this amazing gift here of Jesus, this teacher, this great healer that everyone is hearing about, has come into her home. And interestingly, note that there's no mention of a man in this home. So Mary and Martha's sisters are very unusual in that in the community and in the time, you typically, if you are a woman, you need to be associated with a man who had certain duties in the house, and you had certain duties. Martha apparently has all those duties. And she is scurrying around because here's Jesus, and I get it. I mean, this is a pretty big thing that he's in the house, and she wants to make it really special. And she's doing everything she can to make it special. I get it. Kirsten and Naya know that this is me on Thanksgiving. I tell everyone who will listen, and even those who won't listen, I tell them that Thanksgiving is my favorite day of the year. Favorite day of the year. Love the fact that Thanksgiving has somehow been able to escape the crash commercialism of so many other major holidays. I love the fact that it is a day that is indeed centered on gratitude. Brother David Steindl-Rast talks about gratitude and says that it is the root of joy. It is not joy that makes us grateful, but it is gratitude that makes us joyful. It's a day for family, a day for friends, a day for strangers even to become family and friends, at least for that day. And I have this dream always of having more people. Anyone who's out on the streets can come in and we will make you a Thanksgiving dinner because it's such a special day. And every year, Thanksgiving begins the same for me. I get up early, favorite time of the day. I walk into my favorite room of the house, the kitchen, and I begin to scurry about and work. I take a pumpkin, a squash that I found, and I begin to roast it so it can become part of the pumpkin pie. I take the sugars and the butters and the flours and start making pie crust that will then go into the refrigerator to rest until it's time to go into the oven. I take the apples and I begin to peel them and core them so I can make Naya's favorite apple pie. I find the pecans that I bought and I pick out the ones that are the very best pecans because those will be the ones that are on top of the pie and the broken ones go into the pie. Peel the sweet potatoes, boil them for the sweet potato pie. I don't know if you're hearing a theme of pies in all of this. Pies are really important. And there's a lot of preparation that's going on early in the morning, and it's all my domain, and I love it, until I turn around and look at the sink, in which all that preparation has produced a pile of dishes this large. And I realize I need to get at those dishes. And some of you may have heard of the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, written about a 17th century monk, Brother Lawrence, who said, I find that any time of the day is a wonderful time to practice the presence of God, to be in prayer with God, particularly washing dishes. And I can tell you I am not accessing my inner Brother Lawrence at that point. And undoubtedly, always there's an ingredient that I have forgotten, and so begins the first of maybe two or three trips to the neighbor's house or down to the Safeway nearby to get that ingredient that in all planning I should have had. And then eventually everyone wakes up in the house and they come into the kitchen. And they come into the kitchen, they have their own things that they want to make for Thanksgiving as well as to feed themselves. And I feel the need to tell them how to do it all. Correct, Kirsten? Absolutely. And all of a sudden, my favorite day of the year has become consumed. And by the time the guests arrive, the very reason for having Thanksgiving, by the time they have arrived, I am exhausted. I am consumed by what I have done. I am consumed by what still needs to be done. And I am consumed by the load of dishes that I know is going to wait for me when everyone else has left. And this favorite day of the year has become a martyr's dream. And Naya comes up to me, and Naya says, Daddy, what can we do? You're really stressed. What can we do to help you out? And I go, no, we're good. And she says, Daddy, why don't we just use paper plates this year? It'll make it a lot easier. No. It's my favorite day of the year. And she sighs and walks away because it's not worth it, you know? So I get it. I get Martha really well. And when Martha comes to Jesus, you've got to love these lines that she says, Master, Doesn't it bother you that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. I mean, I'm not sure those words have come out of my mouth. They probably have over the years. But I can tell you that they were right behind on the tip of my tongue if they haven't come out. And I get it. I get that feeling. And I also understand this, that the moment the words come out of her mouth, the moment she speaks those words, she regrets it. She understands. She doesn't need Jesus to then say, Martha, Martha, Martha. You scurry after so many things, and your sister has chosen that which is best. She doesn't need Jesus to say that because she's already telling herself that. That the issue is really not her sister. She's made the issue her sister, but it's really not her sister. No more is it the issue all the guests and everything else or the dishes that I have. The issue is her own. The issue is her own that she has been so focused on the perfection of being the host and the perfection of this moment that she has lost sight of the wonder that is there in her house. Here is the teacher, the healer, the very presence of God, and she has been so consumed and distracted by all the other things that she has not been able to take that moment with him. And when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, he's not saying it's not a good thing to do to serve one another. Jesus is pretty big on serving one another. Mary referred to the scriptures that we looked at last week, which tell the story of the Good Samaritan. That's kind of a story that's all about serving the needs of someone, serving someone who is hurt, and you give them extreme love and mercy, even step out of your comfort zone of who and where you will hang with. The story of 2 weeks ago when Jesus sends the 70 out into the towns and byways of Palestine at the time is all about being the very presence of the kingdom of God in which you are there to serve and to love one another. The word that Luke uses to describe what Martha is doing in this story, the Greek word is diakonos. Diakonos. Diakonos is the same word that chapters later Jesus will use when the disciples are arguing about who amongst us is the greatest. Jesus will say, the greatest amongst you is the one who serves, diakonos. It's where we get the word deacon, a very cherished role in so many churches who feel called to care for those in the beloved community and the broader community. Jesus is big on service. So he's not telling Martha that this is a bad thing that you have wanted to serve. Not saying that at all. In fact, it is a holy task to be able to be given the chance to serve, to care for the stranger that comes into our community. In the book of Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews will say, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. The issue is not serving. The issue is, who is she serving? What is she serving for? I can tell you at Thanksgiving, I suspect that Martha's a bit like me at Thanksgiving, because what I'm serving, even though I think and want to say it is for my family and the friends and the strangers, is what I'm really looking for, the OMG moment, the oh my God moment. Oh my, OMG, David, I can't believe you made all these pies from scratch. What are you going to do next year? Grow your own wheat? I've thought about it. Sorry. I have. There's a whole area in the backyard where we can grow just a little bit, enough wheat to grind to make the pie crust. Looking for that OMG moment that says, oh my gosh, you're so busy, but look at what you've done for all these people. And Martha's going, looking for that OMG moment of when they say, oh my gosh, Martha, there's not even a man in the house, and look at all that you've done. You're the hostess with the mostest. Who are we serving? Who are we serving? And here's where the difference is between Mary and Martha. Mary savors, the word that I used with the young people, savors this moment. And listen, Mary understands that what she's doing is a cultural and social faux pas. She understands that her role is supposed to be there in the kitchen with Martha making this amazing meal. And to not do that is to risk the community being aghast at her faux pas. She understands that it is not her role to get to sit at the feet of the teacher. That's what men get to do. That's what Abraham got to do 1,200, 1,500 years later when those three strangers came into town. Women don't get to do that. So she understands that she is committing cultural and social faux pas, but she decides to push beyond that and savor the moment. Savor that moment where this person, who is as close to the presence of God that they have ever experienced in their life, is there. She's savoring that moment. Maybe she's had a meal like Kirsten and I had in Umbria 13 years ago, and she's learned to savor from a meal like that. Who knows? But Mary savors that moment. And think about the times in your own lives where you've been able to stop and savor, despite everything else around you saying that maybe you ought to be doing something else, like Mary maybe ought to be doing something else, that you stop and savor. I think about a time that I've shared with you when I was on the island of Molokai with a group of young people that we had been kayaking along the north shore of Molokai, and at night we had pulled in to a place in which it stormed all night long, and I was all night worried about hypothermia for those young people. And in the morning, though, when the dawn came and the sun rose, and I looked at those young people as they pulled out of their soaking wet sleeping bags with big smiles on that face, I can tell you, I savored that moment, for God was present there. I can tell you that the last days of my father's life, 5+ years ago, when he was no longer able to even communicate, he was just there, I savored the time that I had with him. Even though we weren't able to share a story or anything else, I savored and went through this catalog of all the events of our life together, so grateful that he had been in my life. I savored the very presence of God that was there even as he lay dying in front of me. I think about what we've gone through together for the last 2.5 years, and how COVID has run rampant through our communities, how we have lost loved ones, how we have seen division come to such a head that it is beyond imagination at times. And then I think about Thursday with many of these people that are right here on this screen, when the cosmic bamboo world hui, who knows why, but that's what they've chosen to call themselves. All these folks that are part of our community but are thousands and thousands of miles away. And I think of the folks that were our scattered pilgrims that we had lost touch with and now were a part of our life again. And I think of the folks who by connection from one person to the next all of a sudden found their way to us. And I savored that reality that Lee and I were able to be a part of with them on Thursday when the Bamboo World Cosmic Hui of the International Fellowship of Crossroaders, who knows what it will be, joined together. And we were able to think through and be the church, even though we are spread 10,000 miles away from one another. We live in a world that wants to distract us. Every step of the way, there are things that are being thrown at us to take our eyes off the ball. Angers and pettiness and things that will consume us. We live in a world that wants us, that lives by the mantra of 24/7, 365 days a year, that we judge our worthiness by how busy we are. And perhaps what we are hearing in this story is we need to allow ourselves the gift to savor, to stop. God is present in all the moments of our lives. How often do we allow ourselves to stop in the midst of all that is busy and distracting in our life, to recognize that indeed God is present there as Jesus was present sitting there with Mary and with Martha. And here's the thing. We only hear in this gospel story that one line, Martha, Martha. Don't you think what we know about Jesus is that the next line that isn't recorded in the Bible is, Martha, come sit. Come sit. Come enjoy that, and let Mary and I are going to enjoy the food that you've prepared. And Martha, when we've done that, we're going to go and help you do the dishes. Don't you think that's really what Jesus was saying? We just didn't get those lines. And don't you think that I get a pass on Thanksgiving, just as many of you get a pass on those days when you're trying to do so much where we realize, even before the words come out of our mouth, that we've made ourselves the issue and we've lost sight of what it's all about? And if we get ourselves a pass, doesn't that mean that God forgives us of those moments? And isn't being forgiven something to savor, something to really cherish? And isn't that the gift, because it allows us to try again? Try again. Come November, you all have permission to come up to me and remind me, look me in the eye, remind me to savor that day, because it is truly a most glorious and wondrous day. And I have permission to do the same for you at other times in your life when you just feel so utterly consumed and distracted. May we be a people that is known as much by how we love the world and how much we love being in this world where God's present at all times. Amen.